Father in heaven, we thank thee again today for the amazing grace of God that reached down and lifted us. Lord, we could say like the psalmist that he took me from a fearful pit, from the miry clay, and on the rock you've set our feet, establishing our way. Help us, Lord, all that we have and all that we are, to be consecrated, Lord, to thee day by day, to give our all in service for thee. May we have that testimony like thy servant of old Enoch, that he had this testimony that he pleased God, that he walked with God. And help us, Lord, to walk with thee day by day with our hand in the nail-pierced hand of Christ. Again, our Father, remember those who have been bereaved. Remember Brother Reverend Wagner, his family, the loss of his dear wife, Kim. We thank thee, Lord, too, for the life and testimony of our dear sister, Charlotte. We pray for her family circle in these days. Lord, that thou wouldst draw near. Remember thy servants who need thy touch, those who have been mentioned. Our brother Gordon Dunn, put thy hand upon him, we pray, and may he know thy presence even day by day. Lord, how we thank thee that thou hast promised, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, so that we might boldly say, the Lord is our helper. So, Lord, be with us now as we turn again to thy word. We need thee, Lord. We need thy presence. Be with us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, we're turning to 2 Chronicles and chapter 26. And again, it's good to be with you here in the Martyrs. And again, to those perhaps online watching in, we are thankful for your interest and watching as the Word of God goes forth. There's many things that are spoken of in the Bible about kings and about those who are in authority. The Bible reminds us in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 21, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And I often think of that verse in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 75, and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And as you read through the book of Kings and Chronicles, we read about the lives of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And it often strikes me as a wonderful thing that God, in a very few words, can sum up the life that was lived by the king, either of Israel or of Judah. We have been reading today about King Uzziah, and the Bible says in verse 1 here that all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was just 16 years of age, and they made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Now verse 4, the opening part of the verse says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And through the books of Chronicles and Kings, the Bible either sums up the life of that king, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And despite all the other things and all the other trappings of kingship or royalty or leadership or authority, the opinion that counts is God's opinion. And in our lives, as we seek to live day by day, what would God say about your life or my life? Uzziah was certainly not perfect. And when God says about someone, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, they were not perfect. But God is summing up their whole life. And as God would sum up your life and my life, does he say, there's a child of God There's a man, there's a woman who trusted me, who has been justified by faith. They have been born again of the Spirit of God, and they seek to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And as the Bible has much to say about kings, either he did that which was right or he did that which was evil, it also touches on the subject of pride. And it talks about having a haughty spirit and about pride going before a fall. And Uzziah, his name means strength from Jehovah. He's also called Azariah, and Azariah means help from Jehovah. And the Bible says here, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And verse 5 says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. The end of the verse says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So here's a king. His name reminds us that any strength, any power, any virtue they will have in his life is from the Lord. And of course, it's the same for you and for me. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And as the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God and nothing else. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Sadly, in the life of Uzziah, we see a king who was overcome by pride and grievously sinned against the Lord. But when he sought the Lord, the Bible says God made him to prosper, and it even says that his name was spread far abroad because God helped him. And it would be our desire. We would love that even as a denomination, as a Free Presbyterian Church, that our fame would spread far abroad, not for our sake or our name or our glory, but because we are known as a people who have found their strength and their power in the Lord, in Jehovah. And even in these times in which we're living, in this worldwide pandemic, and these peculiar and, as have been called, unprecedented times, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if God intervened? And as God's people, God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that even in these days of a worldwide pandemic, that it might go down in history, not as a pandemic, but as a time when God again poured out his Holy Spirit in revival and God's people found strength from Jehovah, and there was a mighty moving of the Spirit of God across our land, across our nation, across Europe, across the world. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say, unless there's a pandemic, or unless there's a pestilence, or unless there's this or that or the other thing. But he does say, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land. I want just to draw with you some very simple lessons that are really on the very surface of this chapter that speaks about King Uzziah. I want you to notice, first of all, the conversion he experienced. The Bible says in verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. Here's a man who had a conversion experience. And we hear a lot today about conversion therapy. This is talking about old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-given conversion in a life changed by the mighty power of God. And that comes about because Uzziah could speak about a time when the prophet Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, Zechariah preached the word of God, and the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as Uzziah heard the word of God, the Bible says Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah. He knew the time. He knew the place. He knew the preacher. In that moment in his life, when he was converted, the conversion that he experienced. As I've been mentioning, about every time we pass the old Raven Hill, we remember it thrills our soul that there we were saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says he prospered as long as he sought the Lord. Just after I came to know Christ, and I've said this in many a young people's meeting and the Children's Day service, my parents bought me a Bible. I think it was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And they put a verse in it, Matthew 6 and 33, a well-known verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And as we do that, as we seek the Lord and put God first, all the other things that maybe trouble us and perplex us, they'll all fall into place. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, ye shall seek me and ye shall find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And the men and women, the young people, the boys and girls who seek the Lord with their whole heart and deny themselves, as Jesus says, and take up the cross and follow him and sing like that lovely old chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Mr. Wiley, Reverend John Wiley, used to say about someone who got saved, oh, he would say, Fred, you know, that young man put his hand to the plow and he never looked back. And that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. You know, the problem in Uzziah's life was a problem that his grandfather Joash had. Joash seemed to depend greatly on Jehoiada the high priest, and when he died, Joash, as it were, went to pieces. And it would seem from reading the different accounts here that after Zechariah, Uzziah seemed to lose out and acted adversely to the divine instruction that he was given. And of course, that happens sometimes when we maybe depend on a man. Remember in the church in Corinth, Paul could write to them and he could say, it's been declared unto me by the house of Chloe that there are divisions among you. And some people are saying, well, I'm of Paul. And some people say, well, I'm for Apollos. And other people say, well, I'm for Cephas. And some people, they're saying, well, you might be for Paul and you might be for Cephas and you might be for Apollos, but I'm for Christ. And there was a division. But we must all be for Christ in the right sense. Paul says, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not looking to a man. Thank God for the instrumentality of men. Thank God for the preaching of the word of God and men who can point us to Christ, point us to the Savior. But our salvation is not in a preacher, not in a pastor, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a man, Uzziah. And he's a young man, he has come to the throne, but the Bible says, as a young man in the days of Zechariah, he sought God. There was a conversion that he experienced. And I trust that each one today, within the sound of our voice, whether in the service here or online, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you had a conversion experience? The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Do you know Christ as your own and personal Savior? And you'll notice as you read down this chapter, not only the conversion he experienced, but the consecration he enjoyed. As you read about this man, he began to do certain things. After all, he was the king. He would seek to provide. He would seek to protect his people. He would seek to protect the land. The Bible says when he was made king, it says there in verse 6, he went forth and he warred against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, the wall of Ashdod. He built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines, and God helped him. He set out as a soldier, as the captain of the host of the people, to protect the land over which God had made him king. I often remember Dr. Paisley preaching and saying, Christianity is not children in a playground, but Christianity is soldiers on the battleground. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes, he says, young Timothy, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He exhorts him to war a good warfare. And this man, Uzziah, he sought out and he warred against the old enemies of his people, the same enemies his father had fought. And there were some enemies who fought with his father, and it seemed his father could never subdue them. But it seems here that Uzziah, with this great army, and the Bible talks about there 307,000 people and 2,600 mighty men over them, and they went forth to war mightily. Because, as the Bible says, we are to contend earnestly for the faith. We are to hold tenaciously to what God has given us. We're living in the age when people want to say, oh, you know, the Bible, that's just an old-fashioned book. All the furore when Edwin Poots was elected as leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, the press would say, he's a creationist. He's a creationist. And that's what they wanted to center on. He's one who believes in the Bible. Yeah, hallelujah, we're creationists. And we believe in the book, the old book of God. This man was a soldier. He had a great army of the 107,500, 2,600 chief men. He had a great armory for his people. The Bible says there, Uzziah verse 14, he prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergarns or coats of mail and bows and slings to cast stones. And there were cunning men in verse 15 who made engines, who made devices to warfare with, to fire the arrows, to throw the stones, the great stones, great catapults. You and I are called to be soldiers. Sometimes sing in the children's meeting, a soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. He calls me to follow him, to live, to do, to die. And we are to be as soldiers and to contend for this faith once delivered unto the saints. But you'll notice not also was he a soldier in the conflict, and he sought to protect and to preserve his people. But you'll notice he was a builder. The Bible says that he built the towers in verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate. Verse 10, he built towers in the desert. And he was into construction. And he was making progress. And they were digging wells, and there was progress amongst the people. And as we have said, Jesus did say, I will build my church. And thank God, even in these days, even in the periods of lockdown, it's so thrilling to hear of men and women and boys and girls, whether through an online service, but they have come to know Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And like those lively stones, they are fitly framed together in the great edifice, the great building, which is Christ's church. And he was not only a soldier in the conflict, and he's a builder, and he's in the construction, and they're making progress, but you notice he's a farmer, and he's a sower, and cultivation he's providing for his people. He built towers, verse 10 says. He digged wells. He had much cattle, both in the low country, in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers, and in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. And there's provision. He strengthened the people. The people progressed. He conquered their enemies. The Bible talks about those who gave gifts to him, or who paid, as it were, tribute to him. And he provided. And there are men and women today. And as the prophet said, they're perishing. Not for the lack of bread, but for the lack of hearing the word of God. They hear all sorts of philosophies, all sorts of ideas, evolution, atheism, Gnosticism, liberalism, everything, but they're perishing because they need, as the Apostle Peter described it in 1 Peter chapter 1, the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So when we think about Uzziah, we think about the conversion he experienced. And thank God for the consecration that he enjoyed. And the Bible says there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But as you read down the chapter, verse 15, the end of the verse, his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And then it changes. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I want you to think with me of the crime he executed. The apostle wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The apostle also talked about people who would drift away. Drift away. As our brother Morris has said, I'm retired now this past 3 years. We've had the great opportunity to go around many of our churches across our province and in the south and preach the gospel, minister God's word. And you know, it's always heartening when you go to some of our churches and you meet people there. Maybe they were saved here in Martyrs or way back in the old Raven Hill. Some of them are serving the Lord, office bearers in the church, members, faithful folk. And it's good to meet up with them. Maybe you haven't seen them for years, and you're so thankful that you're with a brother or a sister, and you rejoice with them, and thank God they were saved, and they were consecrated, they yielded themselves to the Lord, and thank God they're still going on, and they're still pushing on for glory and for heaven and home, and they're still living for Jesus, and they can sing with the hymn writer, living for Jesus, oh what peace, rivers of pleasure never cease. But it's a tragedy when you meet someone out there in the community and you talk to them and they say, I remember I made a profession of faith. Oh, I remember I was saved. I remember I went to church and I joined in and I loved the hymns and I taught Sunday school or I did this or did that. And they confess that they lost out and somewhere along the road. They drifted and they're backslidden, and they need to come back to the Lord. But here's a man, and he had sought the Lord, and he had strengthened the land, and success was his. And then it seemed it began to slip through his fingers when he was strong. Now, when I say that, remember the words of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And the Apostle Paul says, restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. For the Scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Someone once said that the Christian army, and we've been talking about soldiers in the Lord's army, someone said the Christian army is the only army that buries its wounded. Well, we've got to consider, in the spirit of Christ, to seek to restore such a one. You notice the season of his crime. It says here in verse 16, but when he was strong. Remember reading somewhere, someone said, it takes a steady hand to hold a full cup. And sad to say, sometimes men and women get saved and they go on with God and God blesses them. And then somehow in the time of prosperity, they let the things of God slip. It was when he was strong, that was the season of the crime. The reason of the crime, verse 16 says, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Pride in his heart, very sin of those angels who fell, who rebelled. The words are very familiar there in the prophecy of Isaiah, and time is going, but you remember how the prophet Isaiah says there in verse 4, or chapter 14 and verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet shalt thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Not why the old evangelist would have said it was pride that dug hell and damned the devil. Lucifer, son of the morning, the one who led the praise and the worship of God, says in his heart, I will make my throne like the throne of the Most High. I will ascend. God says you'll be brought down to the sides. The sin of Satan, the sin of Pharaoh, when Moses said, God says, let my people go. Who is the Lord, Pharaoh says, that I should serve him? That's the cry of men and women today. Who is the Lord that I should serve him? And the treason in his crime was that this rebellious and independent spirit thought, well, I can just do as I please. I have power, and I can do as I please, and God has prospered me. But God has set bounds and limits in his word, and we've got to live according to the word of God. And in an age when people say, well, I'll just do my own thing, and I'll just do it my way. It is said that one of the most popular songs that is played in crematoriums around the British Isles is the song, I Did It My Way. Now, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We've got to go God's ways. And tragically, here's this king, this great man who sought God and who built up the nation, and he committed this sin. You notice, just in closing, our time is gone, the consequences he endured. You see, he thought within himself, I can go in to the temple of the Lord, the house of God. I can burn incense, maybe thinking like the other priests and kings who of the East who had a priestly and a kingly ministry, but we have only one great king and priest and prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gave to these men, the sons of Aaron, the priesthood, that they would burn incense, and he went in to burn incense. But thank God for those men of God who contended with him, even though he was the king. The Bible says when he went in, Azariah the priest went in after him in verse 17, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, they contended with the king. Here's a king who could conquer countries, who could conquer peoples, but he couldn't conquer his own heart. And he couldn't conquer, thank God, consecrated men of God who were upholding God's commandment. And the curse that came upon him as he went in to burn incense and he had the censer in his hand, he was smitten with leprosy in verse 19. The leprosy even rose up on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord. And as Azariah and the priest looked upon him, verse 20 says, behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Now, I thank God for the next part of the verse. It says, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord has smitten him. These men contended with him. The curse of leprosy came in his forehead. But thank God he had a conscience. And when these men contended with him and said, it's not for you, it's for the sons of Aaron. God says it's for the sons of Aaron. You know, Paul talked about people who had a conscience seared with a hot iron. And a conscience seared with a hot iron would not have felt this rebuke. But thank God, here's a man who has sought God. He is saved. He didn't lose his salvation. He made a mistake. He tragically made a mistake and committed this crime. But thank God, his conscience pricked him. And when the priest of God said, it's not for you to do this, he himself also hasted or hurried up to go out. Sadly, he could not undo the wages of sin. And he was censured. And the Bible says the rest of Uzziah, verse 22, his acts first and last, that Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. He slept with his fathers. They buried him in the field with the burial belonging to the kings, for they said he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. He dwelt in a several house, as it were, like a leper colony. Now in a life of loneliness. And he's cut off from the royal duties and from the rule. And it's a warning to you and to me as God's people that we are to follow the Lord, and may God help us to follow the Lord fully. The Bible says the things that happened unto these people and the Old Testament scripture happened for an example or an ensample to you and to me. And where they sought God and followed God and fought for God and lived for God and did these things, we ought to follow their example. But where they failed, we have to be like Job, who was a righteous man, who feared God and eschewed the evil, shunned the evil, turned away. And may God help us. We've been converted. May we be consecrated. And may we continue on and follow on to know the Lord in our lives day by day. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow together in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for all thy goodness to us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Help us, Lord, to say like the hymn writer, I will follow thee, Lord Jesus. Thou hast shed thy blood for me, and though all the world forsake thee, I will follow thee. As her sister Helen has been singing, all that we have and all that we are, may we give it to thee and walk with thee day by day. And Lord, should there be one, and maybe they feel they've lost out with God and they've turned aside, Lord, may they come in repentance, and maybe their conscience has pricked them even this day. May they come and return unto the Lord, for the Bible says if they return unto the Lord, he will abundantly pardon. So bless your word. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us all to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us all now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls. Amen. Amen. We'll not be going to the door. We'll be here. If you want to speak to us, we're your servant for Jesus' sake. Thank you.